formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another Heart for the People Christian Ministry here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. I want to thank you for joining us today. My name is Reverend Lee West, and I am your host. And we're continuing to talk about the armor of God. The Bible says that we should put on the whole armor of God. And today, we just want to go through what those pieces of the armor are. But before I get into that, I want to give a shout out to Miss Joan Tamarez from the Bronx, New York. I got a message yesterday. She's part of our Central Philadelphia Parents of Murdered Children, and I want to give a shout out to her and her family. I received word yesterday that the man who murdered her 18-year-old son received life in prison without the possibility of parole. And, justice does work. Sometimes it takes a long time, but it does work. And we just wish the family the best. You still have a long road ahead of you. We know that grief just doesn't disappear because things happen, because they will think about their son from now until they leave this earth. But we want to wish them well, and hopefully they can begin to somewhat move forward from here. When we talk about the armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 and 18 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God, that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." When we talk about the whole armor, it includes the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the gospel of peace. So let's look at the helmet of salvation. You can be prepared in every challenge by making sure that you are a person sharing God's truth. This includes sharing the gospel news about our Lord Jesus and why you believe in him. 1 Peter 2 and 12 says, "Live such a good life. Though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. But sanctify the Lord God in the hearts and always be ready to give a defense of everyone who asks you to reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer and do good for doing good than for doing evil." 1 Peter 3:15 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16. The shield of faith. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Ephesians 6 and 12. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Ephesians 6 and 16. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." 1 John 5 and 4. "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, in evidence of things not seen." Hebrews 11 and 1. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." I think what this is telling us, and I think that you see it or hear it as well, faith is a key ingredient to spiritual warfare, to helping us fight our battles. We have to believe that God is with us. We have to believe that we are protected. This is why it is important when he says, put on the whole armor of God. You can't just take a piece of equipment and think that you're going to be protected. You can't come with this little prayer first thing in the morning and then go about your day thinking that you're going to be protected. It takes much more than that to be protected. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts, Psalms 7 and 13. You have also given me the shield of our salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. Psalms 18:35. There are further scripture verses you can read. Genesis 15:1, Psalms 3:3, 18:2, 28:7, 33:20, 46:9, 76:3. These are all in the book of Psalms. The breastplate of righteousness in Isaiah 59, the Lord puts on righteousness as a breastplate and goes to battle against injustice and corruption. Now, this is very important because if you look at our world today, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with corruption. We're dealing with a lot of injustice. And we can only hope and pray that restoring peace and order around the earth is something that we should be doing as his children. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness means, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith and the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Galatians 2:20-21. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the personal and mighty. In righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. In righteousness. That doesn't mean you maliciously go after your neighbor or your family member or your friend. And that's found in Leviticus 19:15. The Bible tells us, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness more than your companions, Hebrews 1:9. For in the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. Then we get to the belt of truth. And the belt of truth, Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, and that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation, 1 Peter 2:12. Other scripture verses, 1 Peter 3:15, 16, John 3:16. The sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is important that we take the word of God with us. It is important that we have the word of God in our heart. We can't go around here misquoting, misreciting scripture. It's important that we know what we're talking about. Thy word have I hid in my heart. There's going to be times when there might not be a Bible. Secondly, your neighbor, your family, that might be the only Bible they see. People watch everything that you do. People watch what you say. People look at you, and they're watching everything you do. Oh, that's so-and-so. He goes to church every Sunday, but I don't understand why he's out here doing this. So we have to be careful. Your children watch you. They watch what you say. They watch what you do. They watch how you live. If dad is beating on mom or calling mom out her name, then they think that's okay, and that's how they grow up. They go out and do the same thing, but it's not okay. So we have to be careful. As parents, as adults, as Christians, we are very influential. People listen to you. They're watching you. They're watching. They want to mimic what you do. If you see you doing something negative, they think it's okay, but it's not okay. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the division of souls and spirit and of joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts, Hebrews 4:12. Then we have the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15 says, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace is the good news that now through the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we now have peace with God. Now we can go to God's throne of grace and confess our sins, and God the Father, through the Son of God, will forgive us and cleanse us all of all unrighteousness. And it's just that easy. It's not something that you have to sit down and you got to do a project and what have you. He says, now you can go to God's throne of grace and confess your sins. And God the Father, through the Son of God, will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:13 and John 13:35, the Lord God wants us to live in peace and unity with one another. This is not happening. We are at each other's throats. We find the littlest thing to argue about. We find things that, you know, just aren't fitting well in our lives, in our schedule, or whatever the case may be, and it becomes an issue. So it's important that we allow God to, that we can go to God in prayer. We can get into his word and ask him, Lord, forgive me for these thoughts. Forgive me for these things. You have to remember, Satan is doing everything he can to disrupt and to destroy and destroy any relationship that you may have with him, any good relationship that you may have with your spouse or your children or your coworkers. He wants to destroy that. He wants disruption. He wants disorder. He wants corruption. He wants things to just fall apart. And we cannot allow him to do that. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:13 and John 13:35, the Lord God wants us to live in peace and unity with one another. The Lord our God is love, joy, and peace, and wants us to know that he has everything under control. And until we begin to realize that, we will continue to live in chaos. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. The Bible also tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. So in conclusion, in this part, to fight the good fight, we need to be in constant contact with our Lord God. That means be in prayer, be in his word, walk with him, talk with him, allow him to walk with you, allow him to stand beside you. Let him know each and every day how you're feeling. Let him know what's going on in your life. Now, don't get me wrong. We're serving a God who knows all. He knows what's going on, but he wants to hear it from you. By reading his word, the Holy Bible, daily, not just sometimes, not just one or twice, you know, daily we must be in his word. Remember, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. And prayer is very important. We need help. Lord, please help us to fast and to pray, to watch and to pray for one another, and to pray without ceasing. One of the things that we continue to do is, Lord, I need a financial blessing. Lord, I need a new car. Lord, I need a new house. Lord, how about praying for your wife? How about praying for your children? And pray for them by name. Call on that name. Allow God to hear you. Be sincere about your prayer. Be specific about your prayer. When I was growing up, my father, he used to always get me with different things. And I say, Dad, can I go watch TV? He said, yeah, go ahead. You can go watch TV. So I go in there and I turn the TV on and I sit down and watch it. He walked in the room. He said, well, why is the TV on? Well, Dad, I asked you, can I watch TV? You said, exactly. You said, can you watch TV? You didn't say, Dad, can I go turn the TV on and watch it? So that was his way of just saying, be specific about your request. Be specific about what you want, especially when you're asking God for something. Be specific about what you're asking for. All scripture and verses are important. There's a verse, I guarantee you, for everything that you need. On Wednesday, we had Bible study, and the pastor said, well, you know, the ones that got on, the first five, they're claiming to be, I think he said the first or something like that, and I was one of the last ones to get on. So I said, well, Pastor, you know, the Bible tells us that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So he said, well, what are you now? I said, well, I'm first. I was the last one to get on. So everybody started laughing. You know, it was a light humor. But the point is that if you allow yourself to be committed to God, if you allow yourself to walk with God, if you allow yourself to serve him and allow him to do what needs to be done in your life, you will be first. People may count you out, may say you're last and what have you, but I guarantee you, you will be first. So we're going to switch it up a little bit now. And I'm still talking about spiritual warfare. And you know, the devil, your enemy, wants you to believe that you are powerless. We pray and trust God as our ultimate source of power and security, but the temptation to fear and to worry is always lurking in the shadows. And we do. Why? Because we're human. Nobody's going to fault you for being human. But we have to understand that we have power over this. And in studying God's word and in being in prayer, you learn how to overcome this fear. You learn how to overcome temptation. You learn how to walk with your head high and to live your life for Christ. Even Christians fight the temptation to give into fear. In the face of obstacles and the challenges, we pray and trust God as our ultimate source of power and security. But the temptation to fear and worry is always lurking in the shadows. We know Christians are not immune to fear because Paul had to remind young Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. There is one verse, and there in one verse are both our key words, fear and power. We have not given a spirit of fear. We haven't been given that, but yet we utilize it very often. He has given us a spirit of power. Therefore, regardless of how we feel in a given situation, we have to remember that we have been given power, not fear. We are not powerless regardless of how weak we may feel. But guess who is also lurking in the shadows when we find ourselves in a trying situation? Satan. And we need to remember he walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Just as a lion searches for the weakest prey for this next attack, so Satan does the same if he sees a Christian lapsing into fear and feeling of powerlessness. That is his opening. Paul warned the Ephesians about harboring destructive attitudes and emotions, since doing so gives the devil an opportunity. When you speak negative, negative things happen. I was in a car with my best friend and his family one day, and we were getting ready to go to church. This is when I was younger. But as we were getting ready to go to church, we got in the car, and the car wouldn't start. Now, here comes old silly me. I said, oh, we must be out of gas. And everybody in the car turned around and yelled my name because they were firm believers that if you speak negative, negative things are going to happen. You're speaking that negativity into the air, and that's not what we want. Satan will attempt to bully you into believing that God is not interested in your future. That's what he wants you to believe. That's what he's about. When it comes to God and being in control, he doesn't want you to believe anything. He doesn't want you to have any confidence. He doesn't want you to communicate with God. He said, look at what's going on with you. Look at everything that's happened to you. Where's your God? Where's he at? How come he didn't protect you? How come he didn't watch over you? As Christians, we must understand that we have to go through things to get where God wants us to be. And understanding that, I said, you know, I look back at my life and I said, everything, it really started in 2016 with my daughter's murder. Then from there, my father passed away. There were some marital issues, but we just celebrated 22 years of marriage. We put our trust in God. We didn't put our trust in man. We put our trust in God. We prayed. We went before him and said, Lord, here we are as a couple. And we're giving our lives to you. We're surrendering all to you. And that's what it's all about. It's surrendering everything that's going on in your life to Christ and allow him to work it out. He needs you to be in worship. He needs you to be making disciples. He needs you to be in praise for him. He needs you to be in the scriptures. He needs you to be in prayer. But you can't do that if your mind is boggled down with so many things, especially negative things. So God is concerned about you and your family, your happiness and provision. And he will do it like a spiritual bully. Imagine a schoolyard bully who taunts a vulnerable classmate. What are you going to do? Call your daddy? He's not coming to rescue you. He's not here, and he's not going to show up. In that situation, the smaller kid feels powerless, exactly how Satan wants you to feel. And please understand, make no mistake, Satan is powerful. Satan is very strong, and people don't realize what they're really dealing with. He fuels your initial feelings of fear, and in an attempt to get you not to rely on God, you may become weak in faith to the point where you decide to take matters into your own hands, to tackle your problem in your own strength. So this bully, you know, you said, I've had enough. I'm done. I can't deal with it anymore. And you just start swinging on this kid. We need to understand that that's not God's way of dealing with things. That is our natural instinct, is I'm not going to take any more of this, and I'm coming at you. But we have God to back us up. He is going to be there with you. He is coming, and he will protect you. When the prophet priest Zerubbabel returned to Judah from the captivity of Babylon, he faced a daunting task of motivating the people to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Then the Lord spoke to Zerubbabel and said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, Zechariah 4:6. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are called to face challenges and to overcome obstacles. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be very powerful. It is precisely that truth that Satan will attempt to negate. He does not want you to rely upon God's power. He wants you to rely on your own power, where you are very weak. So it's important that we trust God. It's important that we allow God to move in our lives. It's important that we rely on God's protection. He wants us to rely on our own strength. And that can be only result in a deeper feelings of powerlessness as your own efforts prove to be inadequate. In other words, it's not enough. We are fighting against the invisible forces, principalities that we cannot see. So there is no material weapon or earthly weapon, secular weapon, that will battle Satan. It's not going to happen. You have to come with that supernatural power that only God can provide. So defending against Satan's bullying, you have probably seen documentaries about wildlife in African plains and lions and stalk their prey. Zebras and antelopes graze with an eye on their surroundings, knowing that the danger lurks. Likewise, our first line of defense is to be sober and be vigilant, to be aware that Satan is like a lion looking for prey. seeking whom he can kill, destroy, sift like wheat, and devour. Satan looks for any weaknesses he can exploit in our spirit as a spiritual bully. So you say you put on the armor of God, or you're telling me that. But you got up this morning, you put your feet on the floor, and you may say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up, and went on about your day. Satan is going to find a temptation. He's going to find something to draw you in, something to make you feel fear. So Satan looks for any weakness he can exploit in spiritual bully, anger, and other negative emotions. He's going to try to, your wife is going to say something to you, or your husband is going to say something to you, and it's going to rub you the wrong way. And immediately you have an attitude that's Satan at work, because you're not mad. You just woke up this morning. You're not upset with her. You're upset with what is being said. You're upset with what's being done, but it's not about her. It's about Satan using her to destroy your guilt mood, your good mood. Guilt and shame. God's not going to forgive you. You've committed that sin too many times. You might as well give up and enjoy yourself. You're not supposed to be in the bar. You're not supposed to be in the club, but you're going out. Oh, man, go ahead and enjoy yourself. Don't worry about it. Satan, God is not going to forgive you. Don't even worry about it. Just keep on going until something happens. And that's when we begin to realize I went the wrong direction. I made the wrong choice. I wanted to enjoy myself. I wanted to have fun. There's a misconception that being a Christian does not allow you to have fun. That's not true. You have plenty of fun. It's just a different kind of fun. We don't have to drink and do other things to enjoy ourselves. And that's not downing anybody. That's not making anybody, you know, it's a lifestyle. It's a choice that has to be made. So as you go about your day, continue to be in prayer. Continue to stay in God's word. Continue to allow him to walk with you. Talk with him. When you're feeling some type of way, say, hey, Lord, I need to talk to you for a minute. Give him whatever it is you're going through. That will free you up to continue to worship him. But we want to thank you today for joining us here at WWDB, 860 AM Talk Radio. My name is Reverend Lee West, a Heart for the People Christian Radio. Remember, I love you, but God loves you best. Take care of each other.